it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tiki and I discussing how it really feels like Brian Daboll's quick on the trigger to make a quarterback change, even though he won't for week two. And one thing we'll probably do on Mondays is look at some of the decisions these coaches made throughout a game and kind of first guess it or second guess it. And there were two that jumped out at me about Brian Daboll. I'll get to Aaron Glenn later. There were two.
Go ahead.
Number one was the decision to basically tap out on fourth and goal from the three after the Giants had, you know, six plays in the red zone and say, you know what, screw it, I'm going to kick a field goal.
This is the first time. The long drive that got them
yes.
down there, right? The Wandell Robinson drive.
Correct. It was the second drive on offense the Giants had. They mm-hmm. converted on a third and five, and then it moved up because there was a personal foul penalty. So they had a first and goal from the eight, and then they converted on a fourth and goal from the two. Actually, they didn't convert. They got another penalty.
Yeah, they got an illegal hand to the face on their left tackle into Illuminor.
So that set
left
up
D tackle or D in whatever it was.
That set up first and goal from the one,
mm-hmm.
and they ran a pass play that Russell Wilson threw to nobody.
It's supposed to be to Bo, but whatever.
Then they ran with Cam Scataboo, and he got knocked back a yard or two.
That's because Bo, who was a rookie, was a two. His split was 2 yards, so the defensive end went right underneath him, forcing Greg Van Roten to block his guy, and then Cam Scataboo ran right into Marcus Bo.
And then they went
rookies are dumb.
I was thinking that.
That's exactly right.
And then what happened on third and goal from the three on
third
another
goal.
One?
Where Theo Russ Johnson. He's supposed to run a crossing route. Manhurts and Theo Johnson are running both two crossers, right? Right? Just get out of the damn way. Manhurts is wide open. Russ can't throw it to him because he would have hit Theo Johnson in the head.
So Theo's fault.
I mean, I'm saying it's Theo's fault.
Well, so based on all of that, that's why I kind of agreed with Brian Daboll.
I 100% agreed with him because the execution on each one of those three plays
yeah.
was garbage.
Yes.
It was terrible. Like, you couldn't have drawn it up any worse than everything that happened. So kick the damn field.
Take the points.
Take the points.
The Commanders had just scored a touchdown on their prior drive, the Zach Ertz touchdown. Make it 7-3 and move the hell on.
Yes.
So did you agree with that up in your fancy suite in Maryland?
All 15 of us sitting together all said at once, you got to kick a field goal and get out of here with points at this point.
Yes. All right. So we're 1-for-1 on Daboll decisions, and I agree with you. But there's another one that pissed me off.
Go ahead.
Now, do you know what it is before I even say? Is there anything that jumps out at you?
I'm trying to think now. I don't know.
All right, so here we go.
Punting.
Do you have it? There it is. Fourth and four from the 49-yard line, down 14-6 with 12 minutes to go in the game. So the time isn't really end of the world because there's 12 minutes left. But I got a fourth and four from midfield.
I can't argue with that one.
Oh, come on.
Only because. So if you go for it and you don't make it, they're definitely scoring. Right? They're definitely.
There's a good chance they score. I wouldn't say definitely.
No,
defense had played well. You could stop them.
But that's why you punt it, because your defense had played well. So you punt them back into the hopefully tight, inside the 10-yard line. Unfortunately, they booted into the end zone.
Right.
And so it comes
and then
out.
And then the defense let them go 80 yards to score a touchdown.
Right. Punctuated by Debo Samuel running the sweep. And even though he was tons of traffic, he didn't get touched.
I'm sorry. You say Debo Samuel?
Yes.
Did you say Debo Samuel?
I did say Debo.
I like to hear audio from past people. So here's Sean Morash on Thursday talking about Debo Samuel.
And what's the deal? Is it Tasty Cakes or Entenmann's in D.C.? What's Debo Samuel eating? What's the truth?
You know what he's eating? He's eating touchdown runs.
He's eating both is what he's eating.
Still look fat.
I think he got jacked to be a running back. That's why.
He loves
he's
that.
Fat!
He also converted on a third and five with a catch on that same drive. I thought down 14-6, I still kind of view it as a two-possession game. Like, I don't think I'm scoring a touchdown.
But I thought, I look at it as a one-possession. It's just a different philosophy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to disagree because I felt one-possession game, your defense had been sound and solid in the second half. trust them in this moment.
Yeah, but I would trust them if I failed on fourth and four, because I'm telling them, hey, Commanders are at midfield. Well, force a three and out and get the ball back.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing.
How many three and outs did they have? Two.
You want me to count them?
One.
Right, so far, I'm at zero. So far, I'm at zero.
I got one. I think there was a four and out, so or something like that.
I got one three and out. It was on their third drive of the game, early second quarter, when Jaden Daniels overthrew Terry McLaurin. Yes. So there you go.
Do you know why I would have went, Tiki? I understood why they didn't, because the defense was going.
You agree with me, Sean?
I do agree with you. And I said, here's why. Because I'm a big believer in not all teams and situations are created equal. While I totally loved what the defense was doing, I am giving Jaden Daniels that much credit as now a top five quarterback in the league, where as great as your defense is, and we see how many Mahomes games like this, right, where they don't score 30 points a game, but you just know if you leave them lurking there in the fourth quarter,
they're going to come back.
Yes, I did not want to leave it the chance, because all it took was one more fantastic Daniels play to bury you, and I'd rather take the chance and go down swinging with my offense to try to punch back.
100%. I didn't want to give them another opportunity with the ball in their hand.
I don't say that versus Caleb Williams, but I say that versus Jaden Daniels.
I think because who did you trust more in that moment? That's how my decision-making process comes down to.
But Batik, remember, you're down 14-6. The only way you're winning this game is by scoring twice.
Yes.
In the best case scenario, it's ones to tie the game, but that implies you're going to score a touchdown and convert on a two-pointer. And I'm going to have to score points anyway. I need my offense to make plays if I'm going to win this game. So a fourth and four from midfield seems like a reasonable place to ask a future Hall of Fame quarterback, I say that in quotes, to go out and make a play.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very conservative. I didn't like it.
But had he made a play all day?
No.
So why did you think he was going
to
make one?
But if you're going to win the game, he has to. You know what I mean?
No, I agree with you.
So if that's the only end result that's going to get you a win, ask him to do it with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. I didn't think it was egregious, but I didn't like it. Bad move by Daboll. Yeah, it's 2-1, unless, Tommy, you're going to agree with Tiki or me and Sean?
I'm trying to be nicer to Brian Daboll this year, but this is the same old stuff we've seen from him over the last couple of years.
Who's he tanking for this year, Tommy?
I don't think he's tanking for anybody, but he gets... Do I want to give him the Cowardly Lion nickname? I don't. But he just gets very, like, he waves the white flag in these games because the quarterback play is bad, and then he tells you the quarterback's not the problem. Well, then you're the problem. I mean, I'm sorry. You keep looking around the room saying that the quarterback's not the problem. Then you are the problem, right? And the play calling is bad. And if you can't trust that quarterback, guess what? You got 45 other quarterbacks on the team. Put one of them in the game if you don't trust Russell Wilson. So I agree with you and Sean.
All right.
Wow.
That may be bad for us.
Probably bad for us.
What is that supposed to mean?
I know.
That may be bad for us.
Can I change my answer now that I heard that?
I'll shut up.
Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Chris in Tinton Falls. Hey, Chris.
Gentlemen, good to hear from you boys.
What's up, man?
Guys, I think it's a simple answer. This offensive line, Tiki, and you know this, is a sieve. I mean, the guys are getting pushed back. To me, the biggest indictment, right? They're on the goal, and they go with a gimmick play to Marcus Bowe because they know they can't push it in. Giants have a history of having great backs, right? Guys like Joe Mars, Otis Anderson, Hampton to you, Charles Way, Barkley.
Right.
They can't even get a yard with Cam Scataboo. So I can't blame Russell Wilson, even though it looks just like Daniel Jones. They can't build a line. And that indictment falls on the regime. Joe Shane through Daboll. These guys, this is fundamental. In the trenches.
You got to win down there in the trenches. Now, look,
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Trick play, the tackle eligible with Marcus Bowe, in and of itself, I am okay with the play call. The problem is when you call it. It's your first goal line play of the season.
Right.
Who's fooled by that? Nobody is. Expect anything the first time. After you see a pattern of, all right, they're just running power with Bowe in there, then you call that play. Right. It just, the timing of it didn't make any sense. And then it got worse from there.
No, it was abysmal. I mean, how many plays did they run inside the 10-yard line? They had like seven opportunities to punch it in.
There was there was four because they were first in goal on the eight.
Yes.
Right? And so then they got four, and then they ran three, and they kicked a field goal, so seven. And then they had another goal-to-go situation down in the other end. So there was 10.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
10. 10 goal-to-goal situations, and they come out with 6 points.
Pete's in Massapequa. What's going on today, Pete?
Hi, guys. How are you? Geez, you guys, I'm a huge Commanders fan, probably the only one that ever calls you guys. I tried to get in touch with you last week before the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, I guess, is more for Tiki. Tiki, this is what I don't get. Like, I consider you and everyone one of the fairest guys around. You always, you know, independent observer. You give the true opinions of your team.
Right.
Why? What made you think that the Giants were much less going to have a chance this weekend, but what made you think they were going to outright beat the Commanders?
Honestly, the defense. Yes. Honestly, Pete, it was because I thought the defense would get after Jaden Daniels. Now, if they would have played the first half like the second half,
right.
I think it's a different game. It's probably 7-6, and then the Commanders probably still win because they're just a better team, and the Giants weren't executing. But I figured the Giants were going to get all over the Commanders' offensive line. There's four new starters on that line. Sam Cosmi is hurt right now. He's the only holdover from the last couple of years. And they had a rookie right tackle who played left tackle in college. And that's where a couple of the sacks came from. So I thought we'd see a lot of that. And then they'd be smart about spying and keeping Jaden Daniels from going crazy. But the problem is, I think I underestimated how good Jaden Daniels is.
He's amazing.
Because he doesn't panic. It was a play. I think it was the third. I'm forgetting the down and distance, but it was a completion to Noah Brown or Deebo Samuel, one of those guys. It was just in the curl, and he was scrambling, and like he knew that the Giants were in zone because it was easy. You could see it, but Brian Burns was right in his way, and if he runs, Brian Burns is tackling him. Turnover on down. They're gonna have to punt on fourth down. He just scrambled not to go pick up the yards, but to move Brian Burns out of the window of the curl. So he runs. Brian Burns has to attack him. It opens this window. He throws a quick shot and he runs for 15 yards. Whatever the heck it was. It was just like as I'm watching and I'm like, it's brilliant football.
Yeah.
It's what Pat Mahomes does. It's not schematically we are so much better. We're creating open receivers. It's I can play backyard football better than you can think it. And so he creates space by using his body because he knows he's a threat to run and everybody else knows it as well. So he sucks. It's gravity. Like all this gravity goes towards him and it creates this void in the middle of the football universe and he throws a laser. It's just, it's so amazing. And it's fun to watch quarterbacks get that, right? The high above the X's and O's and it's just, I don't know. I want that. I crave that.
Ah, can you not?
I can't think of the last time we've seen it.
He's the truth. I mean, they're going to win a Super Bowl at some point.
Right.
I don't know if that's happening this year. I didn't predict it, but they're going to win.
Right.
As long as he stays healthy. And that's always the caveat.
Yes.
And you hope that that's the case. But he's the damn truth. You gave good reasons for why you thought something that was that turned out not to happen. I think what a lot of Giant fans did, and I'm not implying that Tommy and Sean did this, though they probably did, is they got caught up in the hype. They got caught up in the vibes.
Right.
And it's challenging to not. Like, I admit that because you know what happened to me? I did the opposite. I spent the entire summer reminding myself and you, this doesn't matter. The preseason doesn't matter. And the whole year I said, Sean, stop telling me about what Justin Fields can't do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Right. But I admit, I'm going to take my L before I rip them. Final week, as we got closer to the season, I started to believe the whispers of, wow, they're going to suck.
Right.
Justin Fields a disaster. And the reality is what happens in July and August doesn't matter. So I think what affected some Giant fans is that you bought the vibes. You believed all this hype. And the reality was, at least for 1 week, it was the same old Giants.
Evan.
That's the new phrase around here. It ain't the same old Jets. It's the same old Giants.
Did I miss where every Giant fan off the positivity was thinking this was a 12-win football team? all you kept hearing, despite the positivity, was tough schedule. That's why we don't fully believe, despite some people getting caught up in a crowd and maybe flipping their win total from 7 to 10 on Friday. The truth is, many Giant fans were positive and felt this. The reason they were positive about week one more than anything else is because even last year, with how great Jaden Daniels was and a worse roster the Giants had, they hung in there. They played these tight games. They didn't have the kicker early. And to be honest, and this goes to the Commander fan, more the credit to you, their roster is really not that good. They're older on defense.
So why were you wrong? Tiki gave a pretty good answer on why he thought the Giants would win, and he was wrong. Why were you wrong then?
Where I was wrong is what I underestimated was the interior of the Giants' offensive line, where I knew John Michael Schmitz wasn't very good. I expected better from Greg Van Roten and John Runyon Jr. I expected a little better from James Hudson last year.
I tried to warn you, Sean.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I really did. The Van Roten thing, I tried.
The thing I walk away from yesterday, on top of the play calling, I thought the shots would be there down the field. I'm down on all of that. I just cannot believe that I walked away from another week one in a position where, despite the warning signs, the offensive line looks as bad as ever.
Yeah.
And that's where I was wrong.
Yeah, no, very wrong. I mean, obviously things could change in week two. And then I got Tommy tweeting right before the game, I've never been this excited for a Giants season. As soon as I saw that, I actually bet like hundreds of dollars on the Giants to lose. You won me money yesterday, Tommy. Thank you.
You're paraphrasing what I said. And everything I said in that tweet, which got a lot of replies, especially after the Giants lost that game, is I am optimistic in what the franchise is. This is not what they are, quarterback. Jackson Dart with this team, to me, is something to be optimistic about. What we saw yesterday was the same old crap with bad play calling. And as far as the offensive line goes, the Giants haven't had a good offensive line since basically Tiki played. So if we're going to wait for the Giants to have a good offensive line to start Jackson Dart, he's going to start when he's 40.
Yeah, but what scares me is, and you laid it out, Teke, about the lack of creativity on offense, the struggles on the offensive line, guys not executing. If you insert Jackson Dart into that, that's not good.
Yeah. But
that has to be better.
But I still think, and again, I'm not espousing this. I don't think this should happen. But if he is in there, it's almost like, because he doesn't know, it's not going to affect him. Like, he's still going to go play football and not be thinking about it. We talk about this all the time, how when, like, Daniel Jones started looking down as opposed to up, it took some time.
Sure.
It took him getting the crap beat out of him, a couple of years, and he was just afraid to pull the trigger. It didn't even take a quarter for Russell Wilson to get that way. A quarter.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Now, it's been his whole career. I mean, he's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in maybe the history of the league, given how his longevity and how bad some of those offensive lines that he played with in Seattle were. But I almost felt like there wasn't a chance for anything down the field because he wasn't going to give it time. He didn't believe that there was going to be time. Forget the fact that the play calls weren't there, but still, I don't think he thought that he ever had time to throw the ball down the field other than jump balls that he was throwing to Malik Nabers.
Right. And speaking of Malik Nabers, in explaining the kind of yelling match that occurred between Nabers and Daboll, Malik gave a great answer, but he opened up another issue around the Giants with his honest answer. I'll let you take a listen to what he had to say coming up. Plus, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. We're on SNY a little bit early tonight because the Mets-Philly games are starting early. 6:45 first pitch as the Mets begin a four-game series against Philadelphia, trailing them by seven games in the National League East.
Yikes.
So I think we'd all agree the NL East is indeed over, but the Mets still have some work to do, at least collecting that final wild card spot.
Yes, stay away from Cincy. Hunter Green is your worst nightmare.
Oh, he was good, man. Yeah. Hunter Green was nasty yesterday, that's for sure. It's one of the rare times, Tiki, where I actually said on the Rico Brogna, I tip my hat. Just a guy that was nasty.
You had to.
The night before against Brady Singer, not as much. So you all probably noticed, and I don't think it's a big deal, but it's worth at least talking about, that Malik Nabers looked sort of upset with Brian Daboll.
Yes.
They had a screaming match. They were yelling at each other. Whatever the heck you want to call it. And as soon as I saw it, my attitude was, channeling the great Tommy Lugauer, no biggie.
Mm-hmm.
It's football. I mean, guys are emotional.
Of course. You know, especially those guys.
Absolutely.
And Dave's in particular. He's just an emotional head coach.
No doubt. So I don't look at, even when Josh Hart and Tom Thibodeau had that screaming match, right. Now maybe that ultimately led to Tibbs being fired, who knows, but I looked at it as heat of the moment, guys are competitors, no biggie.
But I was curious to hear what Brian Daboll would say after the game, what Malik Nabers would say after the game. Brian Daboll's answer was very straightforward. Basically, what you said, we're both competitors, blah, 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 blah. Malik Nabers' answer, which I want to play for you, was a good answer, but then he revealed something that would bother me if I'm a Giant fan. Hmm. Take a listen to Malik Nabers being asked about the quote-unquote shouting match between him and Coach Daboll.
I said I was going to speak up, you know, when it was time for me to speak up, but just trying to get guys going, trying to get everything going. I felt like we was, you know, lacking out there. The energy wasn't right. So I took it upon myself to, you know, try to boost people up. It's two competitive people going at it. He wants to win. I want to win. I feel like that's the reason he got me over here is because how, you know, me and him are just alike. It was two people just going at it. We trying to get the same outcome. That was really all.
So, The thing that bothered me, and maybe you could explain this, not in athlete talk, but to human talk to me, is it's the first week of the season, and Malik Nabers is saying the energy wasn't right?
No, I think...
What?
So I think people hear that, and they think, well, they came into the game not ready to play. I saw a lot of people commenting on that. I think even some calls over the last day have been about... They didn't have the right energy. It's the first game of the season. Where does that come from?
That was my reaction. Explain it to me.
But that's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is because this was midway through the second quarter.
Right.
So this is, we get off the first drive. It's just abysmal. It's like, oh, God, nothing works. You try to get that, you know, that little drag screen pass Malik Nabers behind the line of scrimmage. DN's completely unblocked. Russ tries to underhand it. It doesn't work. It's like three and out. Here we go again. Whatever. It's the first drive. But then you have that long drive. Wandell Robinson's making plays. You get down inside the tight red area, and those goal to go, especially inside the one, were as disastrous of a place as I saw all yesterday. They were bad. And you can't imagine, just naturally, especially for a young team, it's just like, oh, God, what is this? What are we doing here? And so the energy just falls. And so it's on the leaders, and in this case, Malik Nabers took it upon himself to try to say, I'm assuming, get your energy right.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so I don't think he was talking about we came in flat and not ready to play. I think he's talking about it's easy to get despondent when you're playing like crap. And so somebody's got to get you right, got to snap you back into focus. Otherwise, the game is going to just really get away from you.
Okay.
So I think, to me, that's what I took that as.
All right, good.
I thought he actually answered that as well as he possibly could.
I think Malik Nabers being a leader is excellent. 100%. I think Malik Nabers saying, hey, I'm getting the guys going, also excellent. So I didn't have an issue with anything Malik Nabers did. It was more just a concern level that he felt the need to bring the energy up.
Yeah.
But you're saying it wasn't week one, who cares?
No.
It was despondent after some plays that could bring you down.
Yeah, because think about, we as fans of the Giants had like all of these expectations for them. And we believed that things were going to be different, that Russ was going to be this explosive, down-the-field throwing quarterback, and there was going to be positivity and energy. And then your first two drives, they're just letdowns.
Right.
And so it's easy to get, like, despondent. And so I think he's just trying to smash things back into that same energy that came into the season and started the game with. And it faded. You could feel it.
Back to your calls, Jets, Giants, both on the table, both coming off of losses, even though they looked very, very different. 888-808-1019. Chris in Bayshore. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, guys. Good show. Listen, I've called you guys in the past, and I've been pretty vocal about my feelings on Daboll. I think he's extremely overrated. I think his rope is quickly running out. I don't think there's any excuse for, you know, the opening weeks that he's shown. You want to point to the O-line, you want to point to whatever. I just think he's, and again, he comes across as the smartest guy in the room that knows nothing. I mean, the guy is, I think he's getting, kind of getting a pass. And I think that when I watch Russell Wilson, it reminded me of a quarterback in the old electronic football game he played as a kid when, you know, quarterback tries to move and all he does is he looks like he's shaking. It looks like he's not moving, he's just shaking.
Right.
So I don't know where you go from here, and I agree that you don't put Dart in this situation because that's just a disaster.
Well, I would. The only thing I take exception with is that I do not think that Brian Daboll's getting a pass. He's not in the face of the fan base. I don't think he is with the organization. I think his players even aren't saying it's okay. I think there's an expectation that he set and that they didn't meet in game one. But it's just game one. You give me two or three more of these, then I'll start to feel some angst.
But
I don't think he's getting a pass.
No, I think the only explanation in terms of how you could say he's getting a pass is that he was brought back, which was a fine debate that we had back in January, but it was 9 months ago.
Yes.
And they made the decision to bring him back. So if you feel the ownership gave him a pass by bringing him back, fine. I thought they should have fired him. Now, I'm not going to argue that every day because it's over.
Mm-hmm.
They made a different decision. But in terms of the fan base or the criticisms he's facing, he's not getting a pass. And I remember this with Joe Judge specifically. There's always a day for all of us where we come in and say, I'm done, he ain't the guy.
Mm-hmm.
We all get there differently. I'll even use the start dart thing that Tommy's on top of.
Right.
We're all going to get to start dart.
Start dart.
We're all going to get there differently because clearly he's going to start. That's not a debate. Tommy got there initially.
Yep.
Sean, I think, is there because I saw you in one of your videos say it's time to start Jackson Dart.
Start Dart.
But yeah, I think that may have been emotional, and you're not start Dart.
No, I'm team start Russell Wilson until at the very least Andrew Thomas is back.
But there's going to be a day where we'll come in, for Tiki maybe next week, I have no idea, and we're going to say, hey, I'm ready. And it goes with expiring head coaches. I thought last year, and I'm not going to bring this up every day because why refight this? I think it's clear this guy's not the answer. That's just me. Now, I can be wrong, but I've already gotten there. I don't think you're there yet.
No.
Respectfully.
I'm not.
But there may be a day where you do.
I'm sure there will be. I mean, it's
just not there yet, right, which is fine.
It could be after next week.
It could be.
To me, it's all about what it looks like. I don't get caught in the emotion. I don't get caught in the, I feel this, so I'm going to be mad and blah, blah, blah. I need to see the X's and O's. Show me that you can't do it.
But in fairness, and this is why I joked earlier, you could rewind on the Odyssey app after a very impassioned rant that you had about the X's and O's. I was joking, but not. TikTok, TikTok. Tiki's about to explode. And that's also, you're looking at the X's and O's. You're not being as emotional as us.
Yes.
And there's going to be a moment where you come in, you did it with DJ, where you're like, I'm done with this guy.
Right. He just won't throw the ball.
Yeah.
It's there. He won't throw the ball.
So
I can't defend you anymore, Daniel Jones. Now he threw the ball in Indy. But that's because they have a great offensive line and two really good receivers. Oh, and by the way, an all-pro running back.
So I want to have a temperature check because I think it's very, very important that we ask ourselves this question. Are you done with this head coach? I was there at the end of last year, so I'm out of this game. I'm done. Yep. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. And I say, hey, I'm wrong. He's back. I don't think he's the answer.
No chance.
You're not there yet.
No chance.
Okay.
Not even close.
Well, but you just said it could happen next week.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Russell Wilson.
No. Forget Brian Daboll, the head coach of this team.
No.
You're not there yet.
Not even close.
Tommy, are you there yet? Because you're weird. You killed him a lot last year.
I sure did. Last 2 years.
But then you also were talking about how optimistic you are. So I don't know where you are.
Here's the problem. You're right. And I didn't want Brian Daboll back. But when you draft Jackson Dart and he is the handpicked quarterback of that head coach, if you fire that coach in the guy's rookie year, to me, I think that's worse than starting Jackson Dart. You talk about ruining Jackson Dart by starting him early. I think it's worse to fire his head coach in his first year because then he's going to go backwards. So the Giants have put themselves in a situation where I think Dart and Daboll are now married, and I have to see this through now because I believe in the quarterback more than the coach.
So you're not there yet.
I just have to see it through now.
Okay.
I'm not going to call for his firing.
You will flip-flop on that at some point, but you're not there yet.
I'm not there now because of Dart.
Fine.
Yeah.
How about you, Sean? Are you done with Dabes?
No, and I can't imagine I'm going to be there at any point this year.
All right. So we're going to be firm here.
Until and unless there is a loss.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of confidence in the locker room, I don't see how anybody could have that opinion.
I'll never forget, and I do want to defend Joe Beningo before I get into this because I don't want you to think, oh, that's Joe. It's typical Joe. Joe is very passionate, but he doesn't just want coaches fired after 6 minutes. I promise you that. With Todd Bowles, no, I'm sorry, Eric Mangini, not Todd Bowles. I apologize.
with Eric Mangini, the Jets won a game against the Patriots on a Thursday night in 2008.
Won a game.
Won a game, Tiki. Third season, they're off to a good start. They beat the Patriots. It was without Tom Brady. It was the Matt Castle year. And we went to the game. And we get in the car, and he says, bro, this coach is not the answer.
Wow.
And I said, would you get rid of him now? And he's like, I know they'd never do it. I'm telling you, he's not the guy. Hmm. And I found it fascinating that
he was right.
Well, he was spot on, but after a win, he just, it hit him.
So what was it about it?
I think it was the way the game was managed or the some of the decisions he made and just the feel he had. It was the middle of his third season.
So it's almost like he was lucky to win, not because he willed it to win.
Yes. And that was when I learned this whole game. I like to say, if we all get there at a different point, did I get there with Eric Mangini? I did.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Judge, same thing. We all got there in different places. I remember Craig was very early to get there, but he was also, sorry, Craig. It was a personal vendetta. You didn't like him because he wouldn't come on the show.
Right.
And so you turned on him immediately. But look, he was ultimately right. So we all get there at different times. And so keep an eye on it, because if this season goes bad, and there's no guarantee it will, all three of you will get there. And by the way, the closest person to being there is Tiki. I can tell by your sharp criticism, and I respect it. You will get there before those other two jabronis.
He might, but I do have to say, when we do get there, if we get there, I think we need to pour a little cold water on something, because the arguments already for firing him, we need to stop saying it's year four already. If we're being truthful and honest, it's truly like a year one because
of
Jackson
Dart. Oh, my
God. No, but it is. It's a complete reset, though. It is, though, dude. Because you don't. It is more important for this team's future to make sure you get the Dart part of this right. So I'm not looking at this in a year. I know it's literally year four. But because everything got so delayed and convoluted, this is such a unique situation with the staff that could, when they made the decision not to fire them before the draft this year, to me, we've thrown out the idea that it's year four, and to me, it's a new year one.
Yeah, I think that's premature talk. It's one game.
Of course. And I would there's a difference between suggesting they fire a coach a week or two into the year, which I'm not at, and just saying in my heart, I just don't think he's the guy.
Yeah, and here's something we can't forget.
Yeah.
The Commanders were in the NFC Championship game a year ago.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
They're pretty good. And they didn't play well, but they're still pretty good.
No doubt. No doubt. Let's go to Danny in Centerport. What's up, Danny?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Evan, listen, I agree with you wholeheartedly on something. I just want you to know where this is coming from, okay?
Go.
I'm at 7 years old, I walk into Shea Stadium, and here I am 48 years later at 55, so you can understand what I've endured, right? I haven't endured as much as Joe, but
right.
I've endured a lot, man. And I think Tiki knows I was a big caller with him and BT all the time. We talked last month when I told you I played with Aaron Glenn at Innisbrook, and I know your brother had a membership there. Yep, so anyway, all the nonsense aside, Evan, I can't believe it, because I support this station and this show forever. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm not delusional here, right? Because yesterday was big, right? There was a lot of positives to take away from that. They looked prepared. The moment wasn't too big for the coach or the coordinator. But God almighty, Evan, I want to win, man. I'm sick and tired of losing. Like, why couldn't that guy, like, Boswell hits that 60-yarder like it was an extra point. Like, you know, I wanted this regime to just start differently. You know the difference between starting 1-0 in front of your home crowd if he misses that kick or we don't turn the ball over?
Huge.
Like, it's so big for the mindset of this team and this coach and these guys that have been downtrodden. All the good players on this team that are downtrodden from losing for the last 3, 4, 5 years. It was so important. I mean, listen, again, I'm not delusional, guys. It was a positive day all around, I guess. But I'm sick and tired of losing.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Because also, here's the other thing. And I think back to Sam Darnold's debut. They scored 48 points. They beat the Lions on Monday Night Football. And the positivity we had was through the roof, rightfully so. And then the following week, things changed.
Right.
Because every week in the NFL, and this is good news for the Giants, by the way, every week in the NFL, to me, is its own country.
Yeah, it's a self-contained little season.
Correct, which is why I don't take close losses and say, well, they're close.
Mm.
Like, they lost a game they should have won.
Or epic blowouts.
Correct.
Unless it happens 4 or 5 weeks in a row.
Well, that's different. Once there's a trend, it's a little bit different. But bottom line was, they lost.
Yeah, what happened in this Jet Steelers game is not going to affect the Jet Bills game. It's a completely different scenario.
So why would
I completely different situation that you have to get yourself ready for? By the way, that game is also at home, and you can stream your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 2 matchup between the aforementioned Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's approximately $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So I think that's the reality of the NFL, is that 1 week can truly suck, as long as it's not a month of truly sucking, and then the next week, you can get yourself back right.
1,000%. And there are things that happened in week one in the Jet loss that you're like, oh, that's great. That'll continue. But then there are negatives that you hope will change. Like, do I think they're going to give up 30-plus points every single week? They better not.
Mm-hmm.
That better get cleaned up. Their safeties better play better. Brandon Stevens, who was given a ton of money, better play better. The mistakes, the penalties, right. That's got to be better. And so let's say it is. Well, are we going to assume the offense is going to be a juggernaut again? Are we assuming, did Justin Fields, and I hope the answer is yes, Teague, did Justin Fields have a come-to-Jesus moment?
I mean, I don't know if it was that, but he executed. He didn't panic.
He was amazing.
He was exactly what you brought him here.
But is that who he is now?
I don't know, because I haven't seen a pattern of it.
That's what I need to see.
And so the pattern will determine who he is with the New York Jets. Week one, phenomenal in the run game, and he made all the right decisions in the pass game. Again, he put the ball in harm's way a couple times, but he got away with it, right? He zipped them in two tight coverage windows. His receivers came down both times. Other than that, I thought he was very solid doing as a Jet starting quarterback this year, and it's not something I would have guessed going into week one.
I have to tell you a confession that I have to make to you. So after the Quincy Williams sack of Aaron Rodgers on third and long,
mm-hmm.
And MetLife Stadium is electrified. There's about 5.5 minutes to go. Jets are going to get the ball back now.
Yep.
Up 32-31. I didn't do it, but I was about to cry. And all I could think about, believe it or not, was Sean. Because I remember how excited you were. We weren't doing the show together, but it was caught coincidentally on his Ring doorbell camera. How emotional you were after they beat the Titans 3 years ago, 4 years ago now.
You're right.
And you're like, finally, we may have a coach, we may have that. And I remember mocking you, but then I said, yeah, I could kind of see that. I was so close to, if the Jets were going to seal this game,
mm-hmm.
having that kind of emotional reaction, not expecting, oh, this means they're going to win 11 games, but wow, we beat the Steelers, we beat Rodgers, Fields looks awesome. Like, I was getting emotional, but then I quickly snapped out of it because I reminded myself, they're probably going to lose this game anyway. Like,
How did you turn negative?
Because I'm a Jet fan. Because I've seen it before.
I feel bad suck. For you.
You should.
That should have been the peak of your optimism that you were going to win. Please tell me you didn't take out emotional insurance.
Well, then I'm going to shut my mic off.
Oh, God. Of course I did.
I'm a loser.
Oh, you are such a loser.
And it doesn't make me feel any better. And I don't want to kill the offense because the offense did a great job. But let me paint the picture for you. First down, your own 21-yard line, 5.5 minutes to go, you're up by a point. You're running the football incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
If you continue to run the ball well, Aaron Rodgers ain't getting the ball back.
Game's over.
And what happened? They went 3 and out.
Mm-hmm.
They threw on first down, a little 5-yard catch to Josh Reynolds. Then they ran the ball with Breece Hall for 2 yards. Then it was 3rd and 3, and they ran the option, and they ate it up, and Justin Fields lost 2 yards. And they went 3 and out. So the offense, as good as it was, twice, was on the field with a chance to win the game. The first time to run the clock out. The second time after the Boswell 60-yarder, they had 56 seconds to go with one timeout. So while I'm throwing a lot of platitudes at the offense, and it's encouraging, I mean, can we be real?
Mm-hmm.
They were on the field twice with a chance to win the game.
Yeah, but I think that's something that's learned through experience and repetition, how to win tight games in the end. And that's just that this is a new regime, new quarterback. It's new everything. And, you know, the consistents are Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and a couple other guys. Will McDonald had a good day, obviously. So, like, there's some pieces here, but this is all new. And learning how to win this game is something that they're still in the process of,
well,
of getting their grasp upon.
Well, I need to then see them win games.
Of course.
Go beat the Bills next week.
100%.
Go beat the Buccaneers the week after that.
I have two tough games in a row, by the way.
I know.
The Bucs looked unbelievable. Baker looked unbelievable. Their defense was kind of vulnerable.
Go beat the Giants' daddies a few weeks after that.
Cowboys?
The Cowboys. Okay. I call them your daddies because, well, you never beat them. Mm. Once you beat them, I'll take the name back. Maybe we'll do it for you, if that's okay.
And we're going to do that this week. Don't worry.
Do you really think that?
I actually do, yeah.
Evan, off air, we're sitting back here. We're crushing the team, whatever. And Sean goes, you know, why can't they beat the Cowboys this Sunday? I go, Sean, why don't you give it one day before you take the cheese again? Evan gave you a big plate of cheese on Friday. We have it all taped. Tracy's leading the league in rushing. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to win 10 games. I'm like, can you just take one day off from this? Can you be like Brian Daboll and just say, I'm going to evaluate the tape before you give, you know what I mean? Before we haven't beaten a team, unless I'm wrong here, we have not beaten in 13 straight games against them. 13 straight. How many years is that?
Get on the bus with your pity party. Giants are beating the Cowboys.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Your credibility
as
right
long
now.
As you're not going.
Yeah.
Oh, your bad luck.
I'm going to sit a couple games out. I'll tell you.
Good idea.
Let's go to Ari in West Orange. What's up, Ari?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thank you for taking the call. Of course, good talk to you as always. You know, I got to throw a little shade in terms of what you guys were talking about, Brian Daboll, and respectfully disagree. You know, this guy was hired. Let's not forget, this guy was hired 4 years ago to be this offensive mastermind who apparently, developed Josh Allen to the point where he, you know, obviously is the best quarterback in the league. Or whatever. By the way, Josh Allen won an MVP last year without him. But anyway, but that's what he was hired for. But people seem to forget that. This offense has been anything but superb, anything but dynamic, anything but absolutely dreadful for 4 years. And look, the guy started 7-2. Since then, they've won 11 games. You pointed out just now about their record against the Cowboys. He has not beaten a divisional foe except for Washington in the 4 years he's been here. And guys, I'm sorry, I disagree with the notion of he's tied into Dart. He could be responsible, honestly, for messing up Dart, which I don't think anyone wants, obviously, as a number one pick. And that's not a chance I think they can take. And so that's just where I am with the coach. And look, and just one last thing real quick in terms of Dart. I don't want to see Dart take the field at any point where, obviously, he's not ready. But, guys, I got to tell you this. If Russell Wilson goes out there next Sunday and has the kind of half that he had the previous Sunday, and they're losing like 17-3 at halftime, I don't see how you can't make a move. I can't watch this same stuff over and over and over again, guys. So that's where I am with this team, and it's just so the same being year after year.
That's what I started with. It's you fool me once, shame on me. I mean, you actually fool me twice, shame on me. That's what Dabes is it right now. He can't just let it play itself out like he did with Daniel Jones, with Russell Wilson. He just can't. Russell didn't look like the Russell Wilson that we assumed he would be based on the preseason and all the rhetoric around training camp and this offseason. The leadership, I'm sure, was still there. He was obviously and painfully positive after the game. And that's just who he is. It's going to be that way. It's genuine to him. But if he can't get it done, there has to be a change. There has to be.
No, I think so. The question is when. The question is, as that tick-tock blares, when will that change occur? When you draft a quarterback in the first round, you're eventually going to play him. Mm-hmm. And the question is, when do you play him? To me, the further down the road it is, the better it is for him. And that's what it's all about. And one thing I do vehemently disagree with is the idea that Brian Daboll is tied to Jackson Dart. It's not true. They drafted him, but we've seen it. We just saw it in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Coaches get fired, even when you just drafted a young quarterback.
Right, but if Caleb Williams ends up being a failure in the NFL, they'll point to the fact, much like they did with Daniel Jones, where you have a bunch of different coordinators and a bunch of different head coaches.
Doesn't help.
Look at Lamar, look at Allen, look at Mahomes. The consistency is what makes these quarterbacks even better.
But you don't hold on to a coach simply because of that. Like, you don't do it. It's horrible ownership if that's what you do. And I don't think the Giants would do that.
Then you should have fired him and not drafted a quarterback and brought him back.
Look, that's what I thought, but we can't relitigate 8 months ago. It's not fair to do it all the time. Like, yeah, I wouldn't have gone about it, but now that they have, I don't think they're tied together as tied up as some think.
We'll get back to your calls in a minute. Plus, Aaron Rodgers had a lot to say after the Pittsburgh Steelers won. We examine if Jet fans are really bothered by Aaron Rodgers, or are we completely over him?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.